On Wednesday, President Trump faced his second major legal setback of the week in the fight to stop House Democrats from accessing his financial records. A district court judge ruled against the president, who was suing to prevent the release of documents held by Deutsche Bank and Capital One. The ruling came just 2 days after another district court judge ruled that the president cannot block House Democrats from obtaining records held by the accounting firm Mazars USA. President Trump's lawyers are appealing that decision. And while the president is also likely to appeal the Deutsche Bank ruling, both decisions signal that this may be a legal fight that the president cannot win. Andrea Bernstein was in the district court on Wednesday when the Deutsche Bank ruling was issued. She's senior editor for WNYC and host of the Trump Inc. podcast. Great to be with you, Andrea.
Hey, great to be on Takeaway, as always.
Thank you. We were just saying this is a nonstop moving story. You were in the courtroom. Why did the judge determine that President Trump cannot block this second subpoena?
Well, essentially what he said is he has no constitutional right to do so. And this was not a gray area. What happened was it was scheduled for oral arguments. So the Trump lawyers made their arguments, and what they said is this is outrageously broad. It's an invasion of privacy. And then lawyers for the House of Representatives stood up and they said, no, this is completely within our purview. We need to understand these things. We're looking into the president's finances. We're looking into money laundering. We're looking into the long, strange history of the Trump family relationship with Deutsche Bank. And we have the right to do this. So then there was a break. And during the break, one of the lawyers for the Trump side came up and spoke to the person and said, next to me, because the judge had said, I'll be back with a ruling in 10 minutes. And the lawyer said, I wasn't expecting that. And then the judge came back in fewer than 10 minutes and said, I have a 45-page ruling, and I'm going to read it from the bench, and it's going to take me 40 minutes. And then he went through point by point all the arguments that the Trump family and their business entities had made. And he said, essentially, Congress has a right to look at these things. It is clear under the case law. It is clear under the Constitution. And these subpoenas are valid.
Now, the documents that the Democrats are requesting from Deutsche Bank and Capital One, what are they asking for? What exactly do they want to find out?
So this is really interesting. And we have an episode right now of our Trump Inc. podcast that just dropped. And it goes over a very long and very strange relationship that Trump has had with Deutsche Bank. Trump borrowed over $2 billion from the bank over the course of two decades. At one point, he defaulted on over $600 million worth of loans, and then he sued the bank. They had an acrimonious history, and then Trump comes back in, and he goes to another division of the bank, and they start funding a number of deals for the Doral Golf Course, for the old post office in Washington, that we took a really close look at, and the deals are strange. They don't seem to financially add up.
And when you say they don't financially add up, what does that mean exactly? Even Michael Cohen testified about Deutsche Bank and the relationship with Donald Trump. So what does it mean when they don't add up?
So there are a lot of different aspects. What Michael Cohen was saying is that Trump misrepresented his assets to the bank, which is a crime in and of itself. And in fact, one of the reasons why Michael Cohen is now in jail. The other loans, though, raise questions about whether the bank was overly generous, whether they gave too much money to Donald Trump. And what is so strange is that parallel to these deals with Trump, so not involving Trump, but at the exact same time, Deutsche Bank was fined over $600 million for allowing $10 billion, essentially, to be laundered out of Russia. So that's going on right at the same time period where all of these strange deals with Trump are going on. Now, we don't know if they're related. We can't see all the documents, but that's what Congress is looking for.
One of the arguments that the president's legal team made is that the requests that the Democrats have in, the subpoenas, are asking for records of Donald Trump's family members. Where does that stand?
So this was really interesting because the lawyer for the House sort of stood up and sort of, you know, broke the fourth wall a little bit in the middle of his argument. He said, oh, come on, Your Honor. We know that when you want to do a illicit financial deal, you put a company in the name of your children, maybe your grandchildren. This is how, not necessarily the Trumps, but this is how financial crooks work. So in order for us to understand these deals, we need to understand all these relationships. And I should say that underpinning this all, Trump, as we know, did not divest from his family company. And what that means is that his family company's business is now the whole country's business because it could be affecting policy decisions. We just don't know.
We do know that Robert Mueller subpoenaed Deutsche Bank for records related to Donald Trump and his business dealings. What do we know? Does that mean that Mueller had access to the documents that the Democrats want?
So we don't actually know that. And it's interesting because there was a report that had happened. And after the report came out, according to the Mueller report, the president was extremely upset, and this is one of the moments in which he tried to have his White House counsel, or then White House counsel, Don McGahn, fire Mueller. Now, from what we can tell from reading the Mueller report, he did not look into President Trump's financial business. He really did not go down the road of looking into his relationship with Deutsche Bank. There's a long section involving the Trump Tower Moscow, but not so much on this. And one of the things that the House has been saying is we are looking at this because we need to understand things that Robert Mueller did not look at, and he should have looked at this because this could be the thing that Trump was worried about coming out. Could be.
Now, Deutsche Bank has said it will comply. I'm not sure how much of a choice the bank has in order to not comply, but what happens next?
So it was really interesting in the court hearing yesterday because the lawsuit is Trump v. Deutsche Bank, and it's Donald Trump, Ivanka Trump, Eric Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and several of their business entities suing Deutsche Bank to say to Deutsche Bank, you cannot comply with the subpoena. In the courtroom, Deutsche Bank and Capital One, silent, not a word. The argument was between Trump and the House of Representatives. They said prior to the time of the lawsuit, after the lawsuit, and essentially yesterday, we will cooperate. We are ready to cooperate with any subpoenas that you have. In court, the Trump lawyer, after the judge's really unambiguous ruling, said, we asked for a stay, which means it wouldn't go into effect. The subpoenas would not be valid. And the judge said, no, these subpoenas are valid. So as of the time of the ruling, they're valid. But what happened in the other case this week is that the Trump lawyers went into court and they said, we are going to appeal this and we're going to ask for a stay of the ruling. So it happens that way. And the judge said to the Trump lawyer, well, are you going to be appealing this? And the lawyer said, well, I haven't spoken to my client, but it's a safe bet.
Andrea Bernstein is a senior editor for WNYC and host of the Trump Inc. podcast. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thank you. And everyone, subscribe to Trump Inc.